welcome to the AI Business Leadership Podcast, where we speak to business leaders about all things artificial intelligence. I'm your host, Laura Nelson, Head of Product at Solved by AI. And today's guest is Ian Hogg, CEO of Shopworks. Hello, Ian.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you with us. So Ian brings lots of business and technology experience to our chat today. He has a background in retail operations and tech entrepreneurship. And among other things, he's founded and sold successful businesses, served on PLC boards. And today we're going to discuss with Ian how businesses and organizations can use technology to make things run more smoothly, to boost how engaged employees are, and to increase revenue and profitability. Also going to talk about how Shopworks is using AI to make sure people are in the right place at the right time and how that leads to more money, happier customers and better employee retention. So thanks very much for joining us today, Ian. Could you share with our listeners just a little bit more about your background in the retail industry and what brought you to your current position as CEO of Shopworks?
Okay, well, I suppose my main retail experience that led me to be involved in Shopworks was I used to own a chain of betting shops. I founded and ran a chain of betting shops in London in the 2000s up to about 2010. We had about 50 shops, and you know, we had a real problem to solve, which was that, you know, staff scheduling, getting people paid the right amount, you know, managing time and attendance. And there weren't really that many platforms out there that would go to shop estate that size. So along with some friends and you know, business colleagues, we built our own application, which became Shopworks. That's how I got involved. So Shopworks is a staff scheduling tool that came out of a real problem that I had in one of my businesses. I subsequently sold that business, moved on. I've been involved in other retail. I used to own a poker club, you know, and funny enough, we used Shopworks in that as well. And I've been on the board of a company that owned retail in Holland, the UK, and America.
And so now you're looking at incorporating artificial intelligence into the products that Shopworks offers?
Yeah. So Shopworks has been around 10, 12 years. It's SaaS from, you know, built SaaS native. What was a key sort of feature for a lot of these workforce management platforms was called auto scheduling, or it's still called auto scheduling. But, you know, before AI, it made the advances it's done in recent years, it wasn't a great offering. And there are still people out there selling auto scheduling using older technologies. And to be honest, they don't really work. We built ours using older technologies, but actually never put it to market because it just wasn't good enough quality. And we recognized that the only real way that you could deal with a complex problem as building rotors to the standard that a manager could build it to, or a human could build it to, was using AI. And so a couple of years ago, we set up a project to build AI auto scheduling. And that required few other AI tools in as well, including sort of forecasting of sales and then forecasting of staffing levels.
And have you found that incorporation of AI has helped improve efficiency, helped improve how you run things using the Shopworks product?
Yeah, well, so for us, it's all about whether the customers, you know, what the return on investment the customers get from using our platform. So one of our values is that we deliver real benefits to customers, like they have to be measurable. So just charging a few quid more per shop for an AI solution that, you know, is nice or a nice to have isn't really part of our culture. So we see customers increase their revenue because for the same staff cost, they can deploy that staff more efficiently against customer demand. And therefore, you know, if you took the old and the sort of standard analogy is a coffee shop. If you walk past a coffee shop and there's a queue, you keep walking till you find the next one. And that's a mismatch between customer demand and staffing levels. So if you get that match right, which AI is capable of doing nowadays, your revenue will go up. So yes, our customers that use AI auto scheduling and forecasting see an increase in revenue.
And when you, so you mentioned that you looked to build your own AI solution and incorporate AI into your existing product. There's obviously a lot of AI products out there and a lot of things available. Did you find that there wasn't really anything available on the market to do what you needed it to do? And then is that kind of why you went towards building your own?
There was a company that we came across that was building exactly what we needed, and we started talking about a partnership. Then they went quiet for a couple of weeks, and then they got bought by a competitor, and that pretty much sparked us into, you know, that was the only one available. We got on and built our own, to be honest. We struggled to find something as deeply specialized as we needed, I think.
And I suppose that's a benefit of building something yourself, is you can do it exactly to your needs, exactly to what suits your customers best.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you've got control. There's lots of reasons, but one, yeah, control, the quality of the product, prioritization. We're a certain size, you know, we're not the biggest workforce management company in the world. We needed to control our own IP, I think.
So now, alongside your workforce management technology, you've got these advanced AI capabilities available to your customers. And implementing something like that's got to be, you know, pretty transformational for businesses, especially in quite traditional industries like retail.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's a new phase in the use of these, you know, of cloud-based products. So, you know, if you think about the previous phase, you could sort of characterize as, you know, keeping all your business logic in the cloud, keeping one record, one single source of truth and accessing it from multiple venues, but still lots of manual and, you know, human decision making and manual or semi-manual processes, you know, drag and drop, build the rotor. And some of the automation wasn't world class either, because it was relying on slightly older tech. So the AI is keeping all that business logic and, you know, the apps the staff use to access it and everything like that remains in place, and all the integrations to other systems. But what it's doing is it's applying a decision making layer on top and a level of automation which delivers results that you can rely on and that generate better results than if you let a manager do that. So that's why it's transformational, because, you know, we're moving the managers away from having to manually do this and automating it and delivering it to a higher standard, which a higher standard equals better outcome for the business, you know, i.e. more profit.
And when you have a customer facing or an employee facing product like that, you've got, like you say, you've got real people using it for their day-to-day roles or in their day-to-day jobs. Have you found that people have, you know, some kind of fears or misconceptions when it comes to integrating AI in those systems that they use?
Yes. Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think it's, it's change management. Okay. So even if getting the workforce management system working from, that would have been change management for these companies, adding AI so that the manager's no longer, you know, building the rotor and somebody's building it for them. Yeah, it's change management. So you get a range of objections, ranging from, you know, is it fair? Is it taking my job away? Is it as good as I can do it? They're probably three of the key ones.
You mentioned fairness there and kind of transparency, and obviously ethics is a really important consideration and something that's talked about a lot when we're talking about building and running AI technologies. How do you embed ethical considerations in your AI business development?
Well, there's a couple. So there's a sort of a process internally. So we've got an ethics board and we've got a developer's manifesto, which talks about ethics and what we can and can't do and what work we will and what won't do on. That's almost procedural. In practice, what happens is the customers are aware that they're going to get this feedback from managers, you know, and that they are on the change management process, and the HR departments and the ops departments, you know, almost start off even before we've, in part of the sales process, is, you know, they're asking these questions. So if you if you couldn't answer them, you wouldn't get a sale. And if you didn't have a way to deal with fairness, a way to deal with, you know, ethics and bias and things like that, then I just don't think you'd get a sale in this sort of space anymore. And you know, and then in the practical terms, you know, the we believe that the AI is actually less biased, better, you know, it's better at sharing out you know, unsociable shifts and sharing the positives of overtime with people that want it. And it's better off, you know, if staff update their availability on the platform, the AI is much better at trying to accommodate the preferences of the staff than a manager can, because, you know, the AI can scan sort of different possibilities. So I think this is a sort of multi-level answer to that. There's a sort of procedural ethics board type approach. There's the reacting to the customer, which means that, you know, you're just, yeah, the customers are driving a lot of the ethics and the fairness, and, you know, and as are the managers, you know, so their end users are never shy in telling you when you overstep the mark.
And that's interesting that you find that your customers typically are very concerned with the ethics and the fairness of the system, as well as just the, you know, how efficient it is and how much money it's going to save them. Part of their sort of investment is in something that is going to be fairer and more transparent for their employees.
Yeah, I mean, this is not really an AI sort of answer, but you know, you see a lot in the papers about, you know, or listen to politicians that assume that all retailers treat their staff badly, you know, 0 hours contracts, don't care whether they work. They absolutely do. There's a staff shortage, there's a skills shortage. The best staff need retaining. We've never worked with a retailer that doesn't understand that and isn't very keen to make sure that their staff are as well looked after. And, you know, if we're doing an implementation and we're building rotors that the staff don't like, we absolutely hear about it straight from the sort of head of ops and the head of retail. What one of our, you know, as an example, one of our key reports that we sort of publish on auto scheduling is the number of manual changes made against an auto schedule rotor. So once the AI schedules the rotor, it sort of, you know, it gets recorded, and then any changes made to it, you know, we're reporting on against to our clients, and quite a lot of them will set a KPI. And you're talking, you know, low single digit percentages of shifts that get changed. If we compare that with the older tech that we built and tried to push out, you know, four or five years ago, that sort of stuff was getting 50% sort of changes, you know, and now the AI is getting into low single digit. So we take that as a positive. I think the other thing that AI that we're not fully there yet, but we're working on, is sort of feedback from the, did you like this rotor? What didn't you like about it? And then feeding that back into the AI. So, you know, the AI should be self-learning, and, you know, I don't think it'll be long before it quickly spots the you know, and at least tries to self-correct.
That's interesting. You mentioned about keeping a track of how many changes people make after the fact to something that has been sort of created or generated by an AI. Is that something that you find is quite key in terms of making that transition into using an AI-based product nice and smooth? Is that something that you kind of are quite keen to have as a KPI?
Yeah, well, I suppose it sort of goes back to the almost the first point, and maybe this is where you were going with this, Laura, is the first point is, can they make a change? Is it a fait accompli, that's the rotor, take it or leave it? Or is it, we're empowering you by giving you the first draft of a rotor, you know, which is quite a complex, you know, a complex puzzle to solve for a manager. We do all the legwork. We deliver them a rotor which we think meets all the criteria, and then they can make changes to it. And then what the sort of the system should do is highlight if those changes, for instance, breach working time directive, or, you know, go over budget, or demand, or clash with somebody's preference. So that's the way that our system works, is the AI you know, the manager presses the button, the AI builds the rotor, the manager can make as many changes as they want. And if they make the change and it breaches some rule, it alerts them, basically, because the AI has been, you know, it's got quite a lot of constraints on it. Is that where you were going with that, Laura, or not?
Yeah, you're kind of trying to just, it comes back to that human in the loop aspect of any AI kind of endeavor. You're trying to take the heavy lifting off of someone of making sure that what they're doing is compliant and meets all sorts of rules and something that would take an awful long time for a human to do. Take that bulk of that work away from them, but still give them that sort of human element of control and input.
Yeah, 100%. That's absolutely what we're trying to do, you know. And I think, yeah, it's empowering managers. It's not replacing them, you know, taking away the mundane so they can focus on things that add more value. And these are sort of byproducts of using AI solutions. So we can measure, you know, whether revenue goes up as a result of matching, you know, staffing levels to demand. What we can't measure is whether, yeah, we can measure employee satisfaction with the rotor as well, but what we can't really measure is the extra hour it's given to the manager, whether what value that created, you know, whether they could focus on, you know, coaching their staff or, you know, speaking to customers.
Yeah, they go out and be on the shop floor rather than in the office doing the rotor.
Yeah. And I think that is, okay. You know, we're talking about auto scheduling here, but I don't think it, you know, whatever AI a business implements ought to be delivering those sort of benefits. It ought to deliver some measurable benefits. It ought to save people time, and then that time should free up, you know, management or, you know, staff to go and do more productive and higher value tasks that are humans better suited to.
And so obviously AI is evolving and changing and advancing all the time. Given your experience with ShopWorks and with your scheduling AI development, what advice would you give to people in leadership positions in businesses who are just starting out on their journey with AI or maybe looking to scale up the existing AI initiatives that they have?
I think get started start somewhere. With SolveBy, which is the business you're involved in, which I'm obviously got an interest in as well. That, you know, I know you guys do workshops with people and, you know, try and get them to focus on a single project where they can get a return on investment. And I think that is a good way for any business to start using AI. So whether it's what we're doing with auto scheduling or some other, you know, problem that the business knows is of a certain value to them to solve, if they can get AI to solve it, we've seen several times where the organizations where we've been involved in an AI-led project, people then start to visualize the benefits from doing it, and then they're looking for other ways, you know, other projects that have nothing to do with staff scheduling, where they can go and look to see whether they could solve a different problem using AI. And I think that sort of halo effect of having a successful project, if I was speaking to another CEO about how to get AI in the business, I would say find something where you can deliver a big win, deliver the big win, and then share that around, and then encourage other people to look for similar projects.
So start small, and then when you have some successes, you can expand it out.
I think start with the most likely, you know, I know you guys, when you do a workshop, you sort of go for the problems and you rate them by value, don't you? So you try and solve the highest value problem that AI can solve quickly. So there's almost like a optimal problem, which is big enough to deliver some real impact on the business, but, you know, deliverable within current technology. And, you know, then if you can get a win from that. So yeah, I think it's not start small, it's start with the optimal problem, which is the right size, right value, and the right level of effort that you've got a high success rate for.
So we've got obviously AI changes all the time, and there's lots of sources of information and new things coming out in terms of AI technology. How do you kind of keep up with everything and feed that in to make sure that your business stays competitive when it comes to AI?
Okay, so the answer is I don't. I try my best. I listen to podcasts. You know, I'm a big fan of I don't know if you listen to the AZ16 podcast. Some Silicon Valley venture capitalists. You really learn what's up to date with there. So I keep up to date with what the big themes are and what big use cases are. But in terms of how to deliver it and how to build models and things like that, you know, we employ top quality data scientists, and we give them a little bit of freedom to explore and experiment. And I think you need an R&D culture. So you need the sort of, you know, you need to be able to have time in the sprint for people to read papers, experiment with things that go nowhere. Interestingly, from an accounting point of view, we write off 50% of all the work done by the AI team in terms of capitalization, because we assume that a lot of it is just experimentation and doesn't necessarily have an end result. So yeah, it can be quite an expensive, you know, financially it can be quite expensive, but the prize, you know, when the guys hit on a good outcome, you know, you can get a really good benefit from it, which obviously justifies that cost.
Okay, well, and finally, to wrap us up, can you share with us one prediction that you have for what artificial intelligence might be able to do for us in 10 years' time?
Am I limited to just one? Because I have two that sort of...
No, you can have a couple, yeah.
Okay, so I think that AI will obviously continue to improve and solve, you know, I think it'll be solving some big problems, particularly around things like health, you know, where I think, you know, the R&D around sort of drug production and curing diseases, that'll bring huge benefits. So that's my sort of first prediction. The opposite prediction is that at the same time, the noise around, you know, the catastrophization of what AI can do will only increase at the same time as AI is delivering huge benefits to humanity. So my view is that, you know, the media will continue to report the negatives, and, you know, will they cover the positives in the same way? That would be my prediction.
As with any probably emerging technology.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Ian, for sharing your insights and your expertise with us today. It's been great to hear about your journey into the world of AI and how you've applied that as a successful business leader in your businesses, and also to hear about what you're doing in terms of retail and workforce management with AI. So that's been really interesting. Thanks very much. That concludes this episode of the AI Business Leadership Podcast. Keep an eye on our socials for more conversations with leaders in business and AI innovation. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review and let us know what topics you'd like to explore next.